Utah senators disagree on the passage of comprehensive immigration reform. The head of the Human Rights Campaign says Utah will allow same-sex marriage within 5 years, and Emory County could be getting a new oil refinery. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, June 28th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Republican Utah Senators Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee split their votes on the comprehensive immigration passed in the Senate yesterday. KUER's Terry Gilday reports.
Senator Lee, who long opposed the legislation, cast a final vote against it, along with 31 other Republicans. Speaking from the Senate floor hours before the vote, Lee said that inferior border security provisions and allowing illegal immigrants a path to citizenship were components he could not support.
The sponsors of this bill have the best of intentions, but in my opinion, intentions are not always enough. As I said at the outset, Mr. President, I stand here today strongly in support of immigration reform. But this bill is not immigration reform. It is big government dysfunction. And that is why I cannot support it and urge my colleagues to vote against it.
Orrin Hatch voted for the final bill and supported the legislation throughout its development. He successfully sponsored and passed more than 20 amendments to the bill. Hatch said in a statement that the legislation, quote, takes a number of strong steps forward to strengthening border security, addressing our short and long-term labor needs, and ensuring that anyone who comes to our country is responsible for paying into the system, end quote. The bill passed on a vote of 68-32, with Hatch and 10 other Republicans supporting the measure. It now moves to the House for consideration. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
Now that the Supreme Court has issued its ruling for two major gay marriage cases, the Human Rights Campaign is focusing its attention on Utah. The campaign's president, Chad Griffin, was in Salt Lake City Thursday calling for equality in Utah and the other 36 states that do not allow same-sex marriage. KUER's Andrea Smartin has the story.
Chad Griffin was inside the Supreme Court when the rulings were announced. He received a phone call from President Obama congratulating him. He flew to California to celebrate the nullification of Proposition 8. His next destination, the Utah Pride Center in Salt Lake City.
This morning, I wanted to wake up and to go to the state who, although you were able to celebrate what happened yesterday, you didn't actually feel the reach of justice by those decisions. We celebrated last night. Today, we roll up our sleeves and we get to work because we have a long ways to go till every single person, our brothers and sisters across this country, have full equality under the law.
Speaking to a crowd of LGBT advocacy organizations, Griffin vowed that the Human Rights Campaign and its allies would continue the fight for marriage equality in state legislatures, in Congress, at the ballot box, and in federal courts.
Within 5 years, we will bring marriage equality to all 50 of our states. Yes, right here in the state of Utah, too.
A complaint against Utah's constitutional amendment which bans same-sex marriage is pending in federal district court. The Utah Attorney General's office is expected to respond this summer. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Utah Governor Gary Herbert says his office is exceeding expectations at the halfway point of a goal to create 100,000 jobs in 1,000 days. Speaking at a high-tech manufacturing plant that chose to expand in Utah last year, Governor Herbert announced that the private sector has created 63,600 jobs since he announced the goal during his 2012 State of the State speech. Herbert says when companies choose to expand in Utah, it often creates a ripple effect that leads to even more job creation.
So I'm very optimistic we'll not only reach our goal, but our unemployment rate can drop from 4.6 down to, I think, 4 over the next year. I hope we get down maybe below 4.
Herbert says the secret to Utah success is low taxes, minimal regulation, and an educated workforce. Work could begin soon on a new oil refinery in Green River, Utah, bringing more than 100 stable new jobs to that community. KUER's Dan Bomas has the story.
The governor's Office of Economic Development will provide more than $12 million in tax incentives to Rock River Resources, based in Houston. It's agreed to create 125 new jobs at its proposed refinery to be built next to I-70 in Green River. The state has already issued an air quality permit for the project. Construction on rail links to the site could begin this summer. Emory County Economic Development Director Mike McCandless says the project will give a huge boost to Green River, which currently depends on seasonal jobs in tourism and agriculture.
that creates a stable base of employment to be able to retain people, retain kids who currently graduate from high school and leave, retain other businesses who currently close in November and reopen in April. It basically is a spark that keeps that constant.
The first phase of the refinery will process light crude oil produced in Utah, generating about 10,000 barrels a day of kerosene and diesel fuel. The second phase will specialize in the heavy black wax crude oil produced in the Uinta Basin. Dan Bomas, KUER News.
A broad coalition of water conservation groups is calling for a legislative audit of the Utah Division of Water Resources. KUER's Bob Nelson has that story.
The partnership includes Living Rivers, the Taxpayer Association of Kane County, and Glen Canyon Institute. Zach Frankel is the executive director of Utah Rivers Council, which is also part of the coalition. He says a review by the Legislative Auditor General's office will show the public that the division wastes millions by lobbying for expensive water projects while scrimping on conservation education efforts.
The important thing to understand about water conservation is that it's not about doing without, it's about doing without waste. And we can dramatically lower our water use without removing one blade of grass. We could lower our water use 20% to 25%.
Frankel says the so-called Strong's Law, that something dies whenever water is conserved, is disturbing. The phrase was named after Dennis Strong, the director of the Utah Division of Water Resources. Strong says he's being misquoted.
There are consequences. Now, does that mean we shouldn't conserve? Absolutely not. We should conserve. But let's consider what it is when we do conserve.
Strong says while it's true Utahns use water at almost twice the national average, residents have also reduced consumption by 18% since the year 2000. He welcomes the audit request.
So that we could demonstrate and show that we definitely have a commitment to water conservation.
Both Frankel and Strong say they agree that cutting waste has to be a part of Utah's future water development. Bob Nelson, KUER News.
Interior Secretary Sally Jewell made an emotional pledge yesterday to help right past wrongs against Native Americans. She was speaking to the National Congress of American Indians meeting in Reno. Her remarks got standing ovation from the 300 delegates. Jewell will be in Utah today to speak to the Western Governors Association about the management of public land. A court hearing today could determine whether Utah can enforce its law that limits the authority of federal officers on public land. The Utah legislature passed the law in its last session, but a federal judge issued an injunction in May to stop its enforcement. The law prohibits BLM and Forest Service rangers from enforcing state and local laws and says they could be arrested if they try. The Utah Jazz obtained Trey Burke in a draft night deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who selected the Michigan point guard with the 9th pick in exchange for Utah's 2 first-round picks. As part of the deal, the Jazz took UCLA swingman Shabazz Muhammad at number 14 and Louisville center and Senegal native Gorky Jiang at number 21. Later, the Jazz acquired a center from France, Rudy Gobert, by trading a draft pick to the Denver Nuggets. KSL Television hasn't carried NBC's Saturday Night Live for years. In the past, it's refused to carry some network shows because of concern about their content, but station management says that wasn't the concern with SNL. It was a conflict, they said, with a popular sports show, but now KSL has announced on its Facebook page that Saturday Night Live will be back on Channel 5.
Salt Lake City hosts a lot of conventions. Some shut locals out of their meetings entirely. But there's one that's welcoming visitors to several of its events. It's the Editorial Cartoonists, and Dan Nalen has been watching the scribblers.
Pat Bagley, the Salt Lake Tribune's, you know, renowned local cartoonist, is sort of the ringleader of this thing. They're doing some pretty cool stuff, particularly open to the public. There's a couple of things I wanted to highlight. On Saturday morning at 11:30 at the Salt Lake City Main Library Auditorium, they're having a discussion called Satire and the Sacred, from Mohammed to Mormon Underwear. And they're bringing in a First Amendment absolutist, Victor Novosky is his name, and a BYU professor of Islamic studies, Daniel Peterson. They're going to talk about how cartoonists address these controversial issues, with Bagley moderating. Then on Saturday night, it's a big party. They're calling it Cartoons and Cocktails. For a mere, you know, $40 a pop, $75 for a couple, you get live music from Hot Club of Zion. It's down at the Little America at 6:30 on Saturday, and you can bid on original cartoons from all these guys. Really cool stuff. I would love to get some of that on the walls of my house.
So it's really unusual when you have a convention in town for the public to be invited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's maybe the nature of the art form, is these guys are in newspapers every day. So they are public artists who are working on the fly like a journalist does. But you get to go in and interact with them. It's a pretty cool thing. I'm really excited for this. It's coming to Salt Lake.
And then you've got Pat Benatar.
Hey, you know, when it comes to old 80s standards and MTV pioneers, Pat Benatar ranks right up there. And when I've been listening to her music the last few days, it's really interesting how she puts on that strong woman image. And we all think of the 80s as these sort of waif-like women, or Madonna, who was doing this sort of very pop-oriented thing.
Pat of course, Benatar, she had Heart, you know, from the 70s.
Heart, true,
too,
true, that's right.
Kind of setting the
They
standard,
were in the lull there in the early 80s before their comeback. Benatar was one of those folks who, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High famously had like six different characters who dressed just like her. Pretty funny. So her and her husband, Neil Giraldo, who have written the songs together all along, they tour together. They're playing at the Sandy City Amphitheater on Wednesday night. That should be a pretty fun show. Other things going on this week. The Warped Tour is at the State Fair Park on Saturday all day long if you like your poppy punk stuff. Isley and Say Anything are on Tuesday at In the Venue. Los Lobos and Alejandro Escovedo, two of my favorites that we've talked about before, July 4th up at Deer Valley. So a big week.
Dan Nalen reports on entertainment for KUER and blogs at SLCene. That's SLCENE.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, June 28th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.